This is CliffCentral.com.
Good afternoon to everybody. This is Sport Kuzi. This is the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. I'm going to be with you between 3 and 4 p.m. And trust me, I have a very, very great show for you today. And I'm very thrilled to be part of the show today. It's another edition brought to you by Sport Kuzi. And again, if you want to keep in touch with us on social media, it is at Sport Kuzi. You can hashtag Unplugged Radio Show. And you can also tag at CliffCentral.com. Or actually at CliffCentral so that you don't get confused. But yeah, I'm very happy. I'm feeling very motivated today because I've had a very awesome week. And again, I feel so inspired because of the things that, you know, are happening. And one thing that I've learned is that it is all up to you to have the right mindset to make sure that you tackle everything that you are pursuing and you would like to be successful in. And again, I mean, it takes only a positive mindset for you to see the results, to see progress in anything that you do. So yeah, today it's the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. I have two lovely, lovely guests. And again, it's going to be something that's quite different. We're talking to authors today, motivational speakers. We're going to hear what it is that they have for us today. And one of the things that, again, I think most of us that we neglect, unless you're a person that really loves books, reading is something that is really good for you, that keeps your brain refreshed, your brain active, your brain always being innovative. And today we're going to have people that are actually writing, that write books, that have a couple of books that have in their profile. And they're going to be sharing some of the inspirational messages to us, you know, sharing something that is that's going to spark a bit of inspiration in our minds. But yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing everything. We have Kenneth on the show, and we also have Tandega. And then later on, just after 5:30, you're also going to have Soweto Mandlanzi, another young man that is full of inspiration, who's going to share something different to us, who has a quite an interesting perspective into the inspirational field, if I can put it that way, for motivational speakers. And again, he's also an author. But yeah, I won't waste any more time. I'm going to introduce you to our guests on the show. We're going to be starting off with Kenneth.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, Kenneth, go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners.
Well, I'm Kenneth. I'm Mulefa, if you want to know who am I. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm on CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, Ken.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you got quite an interesting voice right there.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you so much for coming through. Kenneth, we're looking forward to spending time with you on the show, the Unplugged and In Charge radio show, and we welcome you with a warm heart.
It's my tremendous pleasure. Thank
awesome.
You for having me.
Awesome. And then on my far right, I've got another young lady that's with me. She can come forward onto the mic.
And is this good enough?
Yes, it is. Just introduce yourself to the people.
Hi, guys. My name is Tandeka. I feel so intimidated now after hearing Kenneth's voice because you never expected it. Like, he opened his mouth and I was just like, oh, my gosh. What more can I say?
It's an amazing voice, eh?
It's too good.
It's really great. And it actually just tells that he's a motivational speaker.
He is, right? I feel so motivated just hearing his voice.
Yeah. All right, cool. Thank you so much, guys, for joining me on the show. We're going to have a very interesting show today. I'm looking forward to spending time with you. But I'm going to start off with Kenneth. Kenneth has a very beautiful story to share with us on the show today.
Yeah.
And I would like you just to just tell us, you know, take us to your roots. Because I know that you're a man that has gone through quite a lot and has achieved a lot in your life.
Yeah.
So we want to just for you to just take us through a journey of where it all started.
Well, I'm half Ghanaian and half Tana. Man, it has been a journey.
Mm-hmm.
It has been a journey, and I can carefully say that I have been seasoned for this particular season.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that has happened, you know, over a period of time, is that I lost all my parents, and from primary school to high school, I basically had to be alone and grow up on my own. So I was what is termed an orphan. You know, I did not have parents, nobody to really, you know, take care of me or anything. And I lived alone in a village called Luca in Rustenburg. That's where I'm coming from. And then after my high school, you know, I wanted to study psychology. In fact, I got a bursary for psychological studies. But then after that, you know, I had a feeling, and I had this inward, you know, thing that, you know what, there's something better for me. You know, and that is touching lives. I wanted to touch people. And in high school, I started doing public speaking, preaching, and all of that. And before I knew it, I was in university, in Global University. I had to go to the States for some time to do my studies and all. So I'm a professional theologian. You know, I majored in philosophy as well. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's just me.
Wow, that's interesting. Now, yes, it's my first time actually having a theologian on the show.
Okay.
But then again, it seems like you're a very versatile person.
Yep.
Seeing at your CV and your profile.
Yeah.
And you also mentioned that you're an author as well.
Yeah, I write books, man. I write books. In fact, one of the pieces I'm working on is discerning love relationships. And one of the books I wrote is called Your Marriage, Prison of Pain or the Pulleys of Pleasure. So that's one of the books that I wrote. And then I wrote The Divine Gift of Romans, because I get invited a lot to talk about relationships, marriage, and all of that. I actually started doing that when I was around 17. I started teaching on relationships, and I got a whole lot of invites. So I kept on until now. I'm 24.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, thank you.
Wow, that's interesting. All right. And now, you know, you're a man that's not mentioning. I don't know whether it's the modesty or you're just being humble, because again, I'm aware that you're also an entrepreneur.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
I'm a businessman. Yeah.
What are some of the business ventures that you do?
I run Kenneth Mulliford Holdings, so it's a whole lot of branches inside. We have a logistic company, and we also have, you know, your coal supply kind of a thing. And so many other things, right? So many other things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. So tell me, as a person that you said you're from, which country again?
Well, I'm from here.
Yeah.
I'm solid South African.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just that I'm Ghanaian.
Yeah.
Half Ghanaian. Yeah. So most of my time, I always fly to Ghana. Just to make sure that I remember who I am.
So most of your upbringing was in South Africa?
It was right here, yes.
All right, great.
Yeah.
So now tell me, as a Ghanaian, and, you know, growing up within the South African community, because I'm sure it's something that is totally different as opposed to you being in Ghana. And how was it for you, you know, blending into the South African culture and being a Ghanaian and also having a dream to achieve the things that you have achieved today? Because I know very well that, you know, it's not easy to get to the top. And most of the time, you know, as a South African, even originally, it's very hard. It doesn't matter whether you are from other African countries or you're from South Africa. And I know that if you're either from Kenya, from Ghana, from Nigeria, when you come to South Africa, it's even harder for you to pursue or to reach for those dreams.
Yeah.
Now, what I want to know from your side is that, you know, how was your experience as you tried to navigate to achieve the things that you achieved today?
Yo, man, it was complex. It was complex because I'm coming from a background that's so, you know, so complex. And the emotional strain that comes with that, being told you can never make it. Recently, I just signed a deal. I'm working on buying a golf course. So somebody asked me a question. So how, at your age, did you manage to get where you are? Because we know where you come from. But how did you, you know, managed to break through all of that? And my answer was very simple. I had to be Ghanaian because they're tenacious, and I had to be South African because we have a whole lot of opportunities. So I needed that in order for me to eat the cake that we already have right here.
What is amazing is that you say you're 24 years old.
Yeah, I'm 24, yeah.
You're speaking so like such a mature man, like, you know.
A lot.
You know, I would easily mistake you with someone that's maybe over the age of 30.
Yeah, well, preaching for a long time, I guess, made me look so old, I guess.
Yeah, it comes with that, you know, level of maturity
and
the way that you carry yourself out. But but then again, it's not only about that. It's about, you know, the thing that you're mentioning, what you've done and what you're currently doing. As a 24-year-old, I mean, some 24-year-olds are still in varsity, you know, trying to complete their degrees, or maybe some of them are failing and it's going to take them another 2 or 3 years to complete. But with you, looking at the stuff that you're doing, you already you have the ball rolling.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Which is great. Let me actually bring along another guest of mine that's on the show today. Her name is Tandega. How are you?
I'm good and useful.
I'm really great. And thank you again for joining us on the Unplugged and In Charge radio show.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I know that you're also one of the young people in South Africa that is, you know, very ambitious and is wanting to do more than what you're currently doing.
I definitely am.
You feel that burning ambition to actually reach out for the stars.
Yes, definitely. And not only just reach out for the stars just for myself, but I'd like to bring on as many people as I can as well. So anybody and everybody who can come on the journey with me, please do.
Yeah. All right. And now tell us, Tandega, where are you from?
So I'm originally from Boksburg in the East Rand. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people have a lot to say about the East Rand.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm from Boksburg. I'm a 26-year-old. I work in corporate at the moment, but I try to not limit myself to my 9-to-5. Ever since I was a young girl, I've always been ambitious and a big dreamer. And fortunately for me, I came from a very comfortable background. But coming from the very comfortable background, I never said, okay, no, we have Kellex for breakfast at home and that's it. Let me sit back. You know, I took that and I was like, okay, if I'm having Kellex at home, what about the next person? What are they having, you know? So from a very young age, I started off volunteering. I remember I worked for the very first time when I was 13 years old. We had an initiative at school, at my primary school. We had an initiative where we were trying to raise funds. So we were working at a McDonald's for the day, you know? Yeah. And I was so giddy up and excited to go work at a McDonald's. And we went from being in the kitchen to working at the drive-thru to servicing the customers in the front. And ever since then, I always told myself that I need to strive to help the other person, because obviously I wasn't getting paid. I mean, that's child labor. But it was for a benefit. It was for a cause. And going into high school, I used to be involved with a group called Africa Ablaze. Now, Africa Ablaze is a group that is in Kaya Sands, close to the Diepsloot area. They used to help the informal settlements in the Diepsloot area. I started off there as one of the leaders in their camps, but I ended up branching out into more than that, where I started a campaign at school and now in high school, where I used to collect go door to door in my high school classes and beg people to give me their old shoes and their old clothes and their beanies and their sweaters that they never wanted anymore. Go into the principal's office to go collect all the lost and founds that have not been collected, to go and donate those, you know. And that time I was like 14 years old, so to me it seemed like something small, but I didn't know that it was planting an even bigger seed. Carrying on into high school, I still stayed very, very active. During my December holidays, I used to work alongside Africa Ablaze as well, where we used to wrap Christmas presents over December time. And all the money and proceeds that we made for that, we made sure that we go and we give all that money back. So it was just me volunteering my own personal time. Going into varsity again, because I like to talk a lot. Yeah, Papa. I took part in each and every single committee that I could, whether it was in the School of IT committee that I chaired, whether it was in our Engineering Built Environment and IT committee, I was there. SRC, I was there. Name it, I was there. What we also used to do in our SIT committee is we used to have soup kitchens in winter. So we'd go on the coldest day of winter and would go around Pretoria CBD and would drive around and give the people who were sleeping on the streets food packages that we could get donations for, and then as well as clothing. So long story short, this seed has always been inside of me that my family is now trying to start up a foundation where we can now go and raise enough funds to help support any students that want to go into engineering and IT. I'm fortunate enough that I've just recently been accepted to go do an MIT boot camp, where I personally now need to raise quite a lot of money for flight accommodation, and food, etc. And this initiative has opened me up to quite a lot of people. So I need to raise about 130,000 rand. And I was able to find a platform called Adabit.com. So what Adabit allows you to do, it allows you to create your own little fund that you ask people to go and donate their funds into, and then you can build funds from that. But with, while doing that, I was fortunate enough to get people who were able to fund me. It made me realize that there's so many other people that need this. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to get our foundation to do what Adabit is doing, if not even bigger and better, so that we can be able to build our next engineers and our next IT specialists within South Africa, if not the rest of Africa. Because working in the industry that I work in, I work a lot within Africa, and I see that countries such as Ghana, yeah, Zambia, Tanzania are booming when it comes to engineering. And it makes me feel so excited as a South African to go and give the youth of our country the platform and the opportunities. You guys don't understand how many people are willing to help people. They just don't know how. And how many people need the help, but they also just don't know how to get the help. So I'm hoping and praying that we'll be able to bridge that gap between the funders and those who need funding and get them in the same room together.
Wow. Yo, man. Amazing. I'm in a room of people that are so inspirational. And, you know, it's so exciting to see a young person like you doing so much. And, again, it's nothing that you just recently started doing, but you just mapped us a picture, you know. And now it's generational. Yeah. And I think you have something to say about that.
Oh, well, that's really mind blowing. I think, you know, when it comes to humanitarian work, you know, if you have that in place, there's no way God will not increase your abundance.
Exactly.
There's no way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is really great. And then on your side, I mean, I saw you nodding a couple of things as she was talking.
Yeah.
What are some of the things, pointers that you managed to pick up from what she was saying?
Well, we have two projects. We have Love Embrace, and that deals with your orphans and all of that, because I've been one myself, so I have to go and help the kind of people that might be going through what I went through. So we have the Love Embrace humanitarian project, and we have what I call Kingdom Wealth Network. So what we do is we train young entrepreneurs. We just had a session here in Sandton Saxon Hotel where we bring them together and we bring speakers together, and we say, you know what, here's how much we have, you know, in place. How can we fund your business? And obviously you'll have to really know your business to get that kind of funding.
Yeah.
But we have now two success stories of two people who were actually coming out of my group who are now multimillionaires.
Oh, wow.
Who are doing pretty well themselves. So I'm blown away by this. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, I hope my kids will be humanitarian in their mindset. So
yeah.
I love it. It's just refreshing.
I don't think there's anything that's stopping your kids from becoming that, because, I mean, looking at
Well, they don't have a choice, you know.
Yeah.
I was about to say, the seed is there. Seed is there, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, man, look, it is so great. As I said, I mean, you hear the government saying that, you know, the future lies in entrepreneurship.
That's it.
In
yeah.
young people that are standing yeah. up for themselves and mm-hmm. waiting for handouts. And, you know, we're living in a time where you cannot afford to be a person that just sits back and
sure.
expects hands
right.
out. Mm-hmm. And again, we are living in a time where the level of competition, if I can put it, a healthy competition to succeed and you know, to see it in a way that when you see another person being successful,
yeah.
you want to be in a position whereby you looking at yourself and saying, what is it that I am doing to progress and to be as successful as the next
yeah.
person?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I mean, to hear the projects that you guys are currently doing, it's very amazing. But what I want to know from you guys, what is it that has personally inspired you guys to pursue what you guys are doing right now? Surely there's people that you look up to, whether they're mentors
yeah.
or maybe people that have done certain things in what you're respectively doing right now that have done very well, and you want to be like them. So what are some of your people that motivate you guys?
So for me, I think the seed was planted within me because my mother's a teacher. And my mother is one of those teachers who is the mother to all of her children. Growing up, I used to see my mom pack an extra lunch for a child at school or try and raise money for uniform for a child at school. And I think it's just the little bits of that really, really inspired me. And I always say to people, you know, me growing up in the family that I grew up in, I literally had people who are the poorest of the poor and the richest of the rich. Mm. And in both endings, they've been able to inspire me, you know. I've been able to go and stay over for a weekend in an informal settlement with my mother's aunt, you know. And that for me has opened up my eyes to say, okay, how can I help? Where on the inverse, I've had family that are quite affluent, and I've seen them go and give back. So I've, you know, we always have your mentors and the people, your role models that are in the spotlight. But I also have my own silent mentors, people who don't even know they are mentoring me, but I'm watching them. Mm. And that for me is my immediate family. They for me just the generosity and the love and care that comes from the home. Sure. Is enough. Hence I say your children have the seed, is enough to inspire you to also want to go out there and do more. However, what it also does is that it opens up your mind and broadens you to the idea that not everybody's homes are the same. And because not everybody's homes are the same, let's look around and see who's doing what.
That's right.
And if somebody is doing something, okay, how can I go then and assist in that? So you spoke about how we need to look up to people and see how we can be as successful as them. But the inverse has to happen as well. The successful people have to say, okay, I've made it now. How do I now go back and give back? I think that's somewhere where we're also lacking a gap, where we don't have enough successful people who say, okay, this is what I did to get there.
Yeah.
Let me go and find five other people and move them into the same spaces. A lot of the success stories that we hear about is about people's struggles, but we never hear about the nets that was thrown out for somebody else to climb onto the same success bandwagon. So I'm hoping that more and more initiatives will come up where people also don't leave it to a day, because it's very easy for us to go for a day and say, for a day I spoke to these people, for a day I did this,
that's
and
right.
then after that I walk away.
Sure.
What happens tomorrow? Do you know if that success story that you've given this person has inspired them not only to just be fulfilled for that day, but for the rest of their lives? What are we doing about that? What are we doing to now take that little spark and turn it into a huge flame?
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Yeah, so with me, maybe let me begin with this and just say, for me, I believe that the greatest gift to a poor man is that very poverty, because then they would never want to be poor again. So I've been through it, and poverty is not funny. And I thank God that I woke up one morning and I realized that poverty don't look good on me. And then I started to systematically plan how to come out of it. So that became my inspiration. And the harder it became, the harder I wanted to come out of it, because it was not easy for me. You know, I have my siblings, you know, from my stepfather's side, you know, who was actually abusive, and all of that. You know, I got to be molested in that house, and a whole lot of things happened in that house. But It's the volition to want to come out of it that has become my inspiration. But recently I met a wonderful man by the name Neville Kambasha, who's my spiritual father now, and my mentor, who's a multi-billionaire, and he's showing me all kinds of things, man. And I think, you know, that is, for me, that is the greatest inspiration you can ever have. You know, have somebody who can relate with you on the personal level and who can show you how to make things work, you know.
Yeah, as they say, I mean, they normally say that, you know, you surround yourself by the right people.
That's
that,
it.
You know,
yeah.
The people that you would like to be like.
Yeah.
In order for you to maintain a certain level of inspiration.
Mm.
But now what I want to find out is that you're telling me that you went through a hard time. Because again, on the Unplugged and In Charge radio show, we're interested on the cracks, the setbacks, and how you managed to come back from your setbacks and your fails that have driven you to be successful. So what I want to hear from both of you guys, in the midst of the things that you have done, how did you guys come back from your setbacks? And what were those setbacks?
Well, with me, it was It was a whole lot of things, you know. I lost my mom, who died of AIDS, and I never got to meet my dad. I only heard about him, and being kicked out by my uncle out of, you know, my grandmother's house, and having to live from house to house, you know, all those years. And then later on, I found myself in the place where I thought, this is it, because I met somebody and we were just about to get married. And then the breakup happened. Then I had 5 heart attacks, you know. So that was one of the things that was really, really, you know, key for me. Making it out of that situation was not easy at all, because I went through all kinds of psychological, you know, surveys and all of that. It wasn't helping, you know. But I will tell you this. It's my relationship with God. I'm not a very religious person. Like you said, I'm very versatile. I'm not religious. I mean, I'm running a ministry and all of that. I have a church and all of that. But I'm not a very religious. I'm a spiritual person. So my relationship with God, with the unseen, you know, the greatest, you know, Elohim El Shaddai, you know, that is what brought me out, you know, because it always goes back to, where did we start together? Because you made me come out of this. Now that I'm in trouble again, let's go back to how it all started. And that has always been my substantial, you know, the crevices of what I hold on to.
Awesome. That's so great.
And that's very inspirational. For me personally, and I think I kind of like the way you have us here today, because you and I are very, very different, but very, very the same, if that makes sense. For me, I've had setbacks, yes, but I've never had a direct crack, you know. For me, I've never personally experienced that much hardship. And when I say that much, I'm now comparing myself to you. I've obviously had my fair share of dips and downs, you know, but I think mine, I'd be watering down what you have been through. But I've always, being a young girl, I've always had a get it and go it attitude. I see it, I want it, I must have it kind of attitude. And I think that is something that has just driven me in life. There have been circumstances in my life where people possibly could have said, "Ishiya lo segawile," or whatever. But for me, I've never seen it like that. I've always had a very positive outlook on life. I mean, I had my daughter quite young. Actually, not that young. I mean, I was 24 when I had my child. No. But to a lot of people, they thought, "Guti, yo, she's had a child. Her life is over." And the opposite happened. I was like, okay, I'm about to bring this human being into this world, which means now I must stretch myself 50 times more.
Yeah.
You know, I remember there was an aunt of mine who was really, really hurt and disappointed. And I said to her, "But why? It doesn't make sense at my age, number one, Nimdala. Number two, I've had a cousin who had a child at 17 and she is on the board of directors of 2 listed companies, you know. So for me, I've always had that get it and go kind of attitude that has always inspired me to, no matter what, I never want to say I have suffered. I still do suffer from very heavy depression, extreme depression, because with people like me, you have your highs that are very high and you have your lows that are very low.
Okay.
And that is a battle that I am fighting myself, that I know that I need to get through. There are days where I really, really don't want to get out of bed at all, and I just want to stay in this little ball and never ever see the whole world. But because I know that lots of people, not myself, not my child, many other people depend on me succeeding. Many other seeds and generations depend on me succeeding. I need to get up whether I like it or not. I have to go face this day.
Yeah.
I have to go get this money, and I have to make everybody else as successful.
That's great, man.
So for me personally, I really feel that having the two opposites, you're able to now see a clear picture of where the world can come together. We are able to see where you have somebody who's gone through a lot, and that has now broadened their mindset, and they and inspired them to be there and inspire and grow others. And then you have somebody else who's been kind of cushioned, but can still see beyond that level or that degree of cushioning and say, but then if I am this cushioned and if I am going through this luxury, then surely I should be able to take my circumstances, my means and my efforts to go and help somebody else who does not want to go through that. Somebody who inspires me a lot is my father. My father grew up in utter poverty. Utter poverty. The stories he used to tell me about him walking to school barefoot, he used to sell tamatis in a train and a 5, 6, 7, you know, just to have enough money to bring home. He said, I'm working so hard so that my kids could never do that. And for the fact that he has worked this hard, us as his kids don't have to go through that. But that is another thing that inspires me, that says, okay, if I now want to drop this ball, this heavy, heavy ball that my father has now placed in my hand, do I understand that I am not only dropping it for myself, but I'm dropping it for everything that he has now worked extremely and tiresomely hard for in order to ensure that his children, his children's children, and their children's children do not have to endure anymore?
I 100% get what you're saying.
Yeah, what I'm saying.
Sure. Yo, man, I've got brilliant people on the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. I'm really honored to have you guys both on the show and sharing your stories. We're all about inspiration and giving the people out there something that's going to juice them up. I mean, our show is always on a Thursday, and, you know, it's kind of like falling into the midweek. So we're always trying to bring people stories that when they listen, they can find themselves inspired. And you guys fit the category so perfectly. But yeah, right now we're going to have a caller. An interview with someone from Durban. His name is Soweto Mandanzi. He's going to be sharing his story as well. He's a young person in South Africa that is doing some quite wonderful things, and he's going to share some of the books that he's written. He's going to share some of his thoughts on some of the things that are happening in the country, from politics to youth to employment to a lot of things. He's a person that's really active. He tries to make a difference in however he can within his own scope. So we're going to have Soweto just now. We're going to have him just now. We can actually continue to actually, for you guys to actually say a couple of things. But yeah, thank you so much for sharing your stories. And I think one of the things that I'm getting from both of you guys is that it's selflessness, that you always have to be selfless and help other people, because when you're successful or when you achieve things, it only makes sense to also be able to empower other people.
Yeah.
If you do not empower other people, that falls under, you know, either being a greedy person or you are selfish. So, you know, part of your guys' mandate on what you guys are doing is to be selfless and to seeing other people smile, seeing other people, you know, being helped. And you're doing it within your own means, with whatever that you are, with that you can. And one thing that is, that I find very unique and different with you, Kenneth, is that you're already doing so much at such a young age. I heard you mentioning earlier on that you're in the process of buying a golf course.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Tell us about that.
Well, I'm in business, so so I don't even know how to. Well, I love property. I love property, and one of the plans that we had with our church is that we wanted something that will look like a city. That you don't just go to church, after you come out of the church, you can literally go to a shop there or a shop there or a shop there. So my vision has always been, you know, let it be holistic, that I can actually come there without going to church and have a whole lot of fun. I don't have to be around the church environment only when I want to hear a preacher talk, you know. And another thing is that my philosophy in life is that I believe in generational wealth transfer, you know, and therefore my son or my daughter, whoever, you know, whether it's a boy or girl, I don't know, you know, must be able to take something that's heavy that will fall down the, you know, 10 generations from then. So I try to work 6 generations from where I am, you know. So that's what I'm doing.
That's really, you know, powerful.
I think. And by the way, it's not like I had the money. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a good business plan. So I said before, you know, the right people. I mean, just to start over the project, it's over 100 million, you know, rand. You know, so it's crazy money. But yeah, I had to come up with a systematic plan to say, how am I going to bring back that kind of money back to them?
Yeah.
You know, because I want to buy them off. You know,
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I had to have a clean plan to say, this is how I'm going to do it, and this is how I'm going to make sure that this is actually on the charts in South Africa, that people can move from Joburg to come where it is.
That is amazing. Yeah. That is amazing. Those sound some crazy numbers, eh?
That's very crazy numbers.
You're talking about them as if it's just in jail. You know, it's a few rands. But yeah, anyway, yeah, we've got Soweto Mandlanzi on the show. Soweto, are you with us?
Yes, I'm so sure, man.
How are you doing, my brother?
Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much. I'm good, man.
Yeah, I'm great, man. Just introduce yourself to the listeners back home.
Look, as you said, Soweto Mandlanzi, we say to young boy used to be Okulele, to sing Johannesburg and Fryhead, you know, who just decided to focus on writing late ages after my varsity life. But I mean, I went to a normal school, like your public and your high school. Like a normal boy who just goes up in a township, you know. But I think what is more important about me, which I always say to people, and I think that's what really makes a difference with me and any guy outside there, is a Christian widow who used to pray so much. So, and I always say to people that I'm a product of prayer. Other than that, I'm just a guy who loves working hard.
That is amazing, Soweto. And again, you know, you're joining us on the show, and we have someone that is also an author here, and we have people, two guests on in studio right now with me that have a Christian background and have an upbringing of parents that have made sure that they grow up and they know God Almighty. And I think you have something that is very interesting from a God-centric point of view that you would like to share with us. What, tell us about it.
Look, first, let me say those are my things. You know, I think what is very important with us being Christians, and I always say this, I want people to understand, we're not supernatural human beings. Being a Christian is not maybe divine on its own, but it's not something within. I was speaking to a few young guys, and they said to me, you know, I love your lifestyle, but I'm going to get saved the day I feel touched, the day something happens to me. And I said to them, actually, nothing might happen because lento yokuba a Christian and to want to do something while you are young, nothing has to happen. You just have to decide, this is what I want to do. I mean, in an actual, if I wanted to say something to a young person, one day when I was growing up, I saw the construction workers, which were quite old at that time, and they were working during the pavement. While they were working, they were still arguing about their shift, who was supposed to do this, who was not supposed to do what. And right at that time, while they were arguing, I went to the pavement and I wrote my name. And I said, Soweto was here. So they actually were angry. I wrote that while they were fixing the pavement. And they tried to catch me, but they couldn't. Reason being, I was still young, I was fresh, and I was able to run away from them. So what does that mean? It means while people are arguing, while people are talking about who's supposed to do what and who's not supposed to do what is supposed to happen, what is not supposed to happen, as a young person, decide that you are going to make a mark, and go make a mark while you are young. Go make a mark while your legs are fresh, while your mind is young, while you are able to do things that you want to do. There's certain things that you can't do when you're old. And I mean, looking back, I went there, this happened like 27 years ago. I went there, the road, the pavement is still suffering the cracks, but my name is there. Because I wrote it when the pavement was new, when it was fresh. So it means, no matter while we are still young, we must understand that it's going to survive the cracks of life for so many years in life. Until we grow old, we say, I made a good decision to be a Christian while I was young. I made a good decision to work hard while I was young.
That is so amazing. I mean, man. What you're telling us right now, it's hitting our hearts. And yeah, I can tell you right now that the guests on the studio, they're just nodding their heads and they're just getting touched. They're like, so yo, do you guys have anything to say about that?
I think that is so inspirational. And shoot, I am now taking from that, you know, the fact that you're saying that you had, while everybody else was busy within the rummage and in the inconsistencies and not knowing, you stood up and you became a leader right there and then. As much as it was destructive for them, but sometimes you need to have that destruction. I mean, We see it all the time with all the technologies that are coming up, that if you are disruptive in anything that you do, you will succeed. And many a times we always want to follow the path that is already paved out. If Soweto is doing this to become successful, I must also do the same thing. That's how I will be successful. And that is not the case, because that's when we build that traffic and that clutter within everything that we want to do. And then we wonder, Uti, why Lorna is there? Are they more successful than me? What God are they praying to that is better than mine? Whereas it's all the same, but what we're trying to do is we're trying to follow just that one path instead of stepping back while everybody's still busy and writing your name down and saying, listen, Soweto was here. And through it all, Soweto will stand because you were disruptive enough to step away from all that traffic. Hmm. I think that's very inspirational.
Yeah, sure. Soweto, I think you can, I mean, we do know that you are also an author, and you've written a couple of books that have, you know, tackled a couple of issues that we actually come across in our society. Can you just tell us about that as well?
Look, I think first, of course, which I need to say, and to also back up what my sister said, growing up and deciding which I was going to be an author, I said to myself I wasn't going to write about things that other people had written about. I wanted to find a new way to speak to the new generation, you know, without actually boring them. I mean, as a Christian, people will understand which, the Christian borders, the scriptures, they are my borders. They what, no matter how much I write, but I still need to find myself within the scriptures. So my motivation comes from the scriptures. But in growing up, I said to myself, I need to write a new message that you can eventually in the way. But then again, in writing that, I said to myself, I want to grow as an author. I don't want to write about one thing and take the day I die. I'm going to allow God to use me in whatever particular subject that I need to write about. If you look at my first book, just teasing for a new thing, there was this particular, and specifically for someone who's dealing with pain, I wrote that thinking, how can I help someone out there who's dealing with pain and give them techniques as to this is how you can deal with it. If you look at, for example, Ingane Izalwa, no one is born namazinyo, no one is born with teeth. In fact, most of us, even you guys at the studio, would run away if someone was born with teeth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But as we grow, we laugh at each other if we do not have amazinyo. Why? Because we feel that it's something that everybody needs to have in life. So what does it mean? It means, number one, no one is born with this into abazofisa ukubanazo empilweni. No one is born with their wits. No one is born with the cards they want to have. I mean, if you look at, I've spoken to kids of presidents and rich people, and they say to me, you know, so I still want to have 1, 2, 3. And I'm saying to myself, but you guys have it all. They say, no, we do not have it all. Which means it really applies to every one of us in life. No one is born with everything they are going to want to have. But in that line of thinking, I developed into it when I was writing my first book, into it. While I was growing up, did I love those sweets? So I was eating too many sweets, and that was the cause for amazinyo ami ukutabole. And in doing so, I had to remove the same teeth which I'd fallen in love with in the beginning. But that's just a short message, I mean, pulling out of that first book, which is what destroyed amazinyo ami, which we can look at as a metaphor or personify a dream, a vision of a person. What destroyed it was not something I hated. It was the very thing that I loved. It was something that I ate, and it tasted sweet, and I said to myself, I enjoyed it. That was that's what had the ability to kill the first thing that I dreamed about. So if I were to speak to a young person today, I wouldn't say, look at your enemies, look at so-and-so. You have to come to a point where you realize that the very things that are going to kill the things that you've been dreaming about are the only things that you love in life, are the only things that you eat and enjoy, are the only things that you do and think you're good with them. When my sister talking about being disruptive and all that, you have to come to a point where you decide, this is what I'm going to do, this is not what I'm going to do, because you want to protect the very things you have. I mean, even if you think of our book, I've written 4, and you know, Cash is coming out next month. There's so much, but I'm just giving out a background, which is an author, that's a decision I made, which I'm going to grow. When I wrote Dear Jacob, I mean, which, you know, was a different story altogether. But as an author, I just write to grow. And my sister said, some people are not successful because they want to do what others have done. It was weird for me to decide that I'm going to be a writer.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember during Standard 5, which is, there was a time when people wanted to write you remember these short love letters, the wicked song, and it's been sitting in my bed, artist, real, moody, sad. You know, you remember, at the same age, you know what I mean?
Mm.
I love that. I love doing that. And sometimes kids would give me sweets for writing that. And I fell in love with writing. So I grew up and I said, this is what I'm going to do. So growing up, having to knew guys like Abo Cash, who are so famous, guys like Abo Senzo Meyiwa, the late Senzo Meyiwa, it was awkward for me that I had to leave Songkram and decide I want to write. But today, I'm writing about those people who have made it in life. Why? Because I chose to do what I love. And that's very important in my business. If people are going to be successful, they need to identify what they love. But you can't identify what you love without identifying yourself. I always say this, in a world where people put so much makeup, in a world where people wear so much expensive clothes, it's very hard to find your soul. And if any person can find their soul, they'll know their gift, and they'll be able to do the very thing that they love. So it's very important, my brother. Do what you love, because one day it will do you. Via the Gama Christians, they're going for Ama Easter. They will tell you at some point, Ujesu, what is this Pambano? Why are you Golgotha? What am I thinking about Golgotha? This Pambano, Iyeno, why Exona? What does it mean? At some point, the very thing that you carry and that you feel, this is hard to do, one day it's going to carry you.
That is so powerful. So at all.
Well, you better do it, yeah.
Yeah, man, you're sharing such a powerful message. And, you know, for a minute, people who are listening, they might think that this is a mini church service. But, you know, we're mixing... You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing, yeah. Because what I'm trying to say is that, you know, it's interesting that motivation comes in all different perspectives.
That's it, yeah.
And it's not about that we're saying that Christianity is a superior religion, or we're trying to downtrod other people who believe in other things. But we are saying that you sharing something within your heart that you know that it's going to make a difference in someone else's life. And I'm saying this. I'm saying this because the Unplugged and In Charge radio show, we always bring stories that are going to be listened by people. And when they listen to them, they're going to find life. They're going to find inspiration. It's going to change them. It's going to make them, by tomorrow, if they're listening today, when they wake up tomorrow morning, they're going to wake up and go and make a difference about their life. And I really, really appreciate you sharing this. And I think you actually do have more to share with us. What else do you have for us?
Look, my brother, let's just quickly, because I think we're also trying to address, talk about my book also. I think I went to Inwadista, so I then wrote about the book, which so many people thought I was writing, Life is a Trap, which is not the case. I said, Life is a Trip. I mean, in that book, Abantu had started seeing my style of writing, but having written in the Bagatia Jacob, that was more political, I said to myself, let me go and write something again, more motivational. With that book, I mean, I went back to a trip that I had at high school. I look at the elements of the trip, which my colleagues in the studio will share the same sentiment with me. You know, like in the assembly where at school, you know, it's Kulegunama Assembly School, Masriya Kona, the principal announced, which, hey, there was going to be a trip to Richards Bay. Can I see with a show of hands those that are willing to go to Richards Bay? But then the principal didn't say, can I see those who can afford to go to Richards Bay? That's not what he said. He said, can I see those who are willing? And that's where I define the first starting point in life. When a person is going to be successful, it's not about how much they have in their pocket. It's how much they have in their heart. Willingness is in the heart, and the heart is the portrait of a human being. And that's all he asked for. He said, can I see those who are willing? I mean, I didn't have the money to make it to Richards Bay, but my pocket, which is the heart, my emotional pocket, which is the heart, I was full of willingness. I said, look, I'm willing to go. And through that, I was able to raise my hand. And I was actually embarrassed at some point that I rose my hand knowing that I do not have the money. But the very thing which is the essence and the core of that book that I want to send with the listener at home, in the past and wherever, which there was a time when I went to my mom. I said, Mom, I actually rose my hand and said, I'm going to Richards Bay, but I do not have the money. You know, black parents, how difficult they actually are. Instead of saying yes or saying no, she said, which I didn't know, what did that mean? Did she mean it's painful that I'm asking, or did she mean she's going to try to make a way out of it? But then I needed to find a way to say that. And let me say this to every young person. For every young person that's going to be successful, they are going to be successful because there is something they're trying to change. There is something you need to be wanting to change, and that's what's going to make you successful. It could be your family background. It could be they don't finish grade 12. It could be at home they don't buy cars. It could be that there's something, there is a problem that you need to face and to desire to change it. And that's where your success will be born. And then I said to myself, okay, I need to change that and make it a yes. But I needed to find a way to do that. So this is called strategy. And the very thing that I said, which as a young boy at the age of 13, I needed to find out what is it that my mom liked that was going to be able to make her give me the money that I wanted. And it's very important for the young person to go deeper into themselves and ask themselves, what is it that is in this world that the word likes? That if I do, I'll be able to get what I like. I think, let me just repeat that even though I'm not speaking. What is it that the world likes? That if I do, it will be able to give me what I like. And no matter what, in the morning, I needed to wake up and do things. I needed to come home before sleep. I needed to do the garden during the weekend. I did those things. If you look at those things, the three things that I've just mentioned, it's not things that I like doing. I shouldn't want to do those things. I wanted to be busy with girlfriends, playing soccer, and going everywhere. But because I had something to do, I needed to change my way to get what I want. So there's certain things in life that you're not going to get if you're not willing to sacrifice what you used to do, if you're not willing to change your way. You need to come to a point where you say, okay, what is it that I can do to change the situation? And I can tell the listener this. What a listener will have to do is not something that they are going to like. A sacrifice is not something usually that you like. Waking up in the morning might not be what you want. Leaving work at 7 when others are leaving work at 4 might not be what you want. Being dedicated as a great 12th learner while others are doing other things might not be what you like. But let me tell you, sometimes what you don't like is what you like. So you have to do what you don't like to get what you like.
Yo, man, Soweto, you are on fire, my brother. You are on fire. We can feel the energy all the way from Durban right here in studio. Yeah. And you filling this place up with so much fire. I can tell you right now, your God is doing wonders right now. And the motivation that you're sharing with us, it's really, really powerful. You know, the funny and the interesting thing is that it's like you were with us for the past 20 or 30 minutes.
That's right.
And
I wasn't serious.
You know, and the way you're speaking, you're actually capturing so many things that are related to what we were talking about earlier on.
Yeah.
And you know what? I have no doubt and I do not regret to have you on the show. I know that we had a bit of hiccups for you to come through to the studio. But
and I apologize for that.
Look, man. You don't need to, because you know what? I made a plan to make sure that you are on the show and you are delivering exactly what we needed. And whether you are here or you are there via telephonically, you are doing exactly what is needed. And I thank you so, so much for sharing your heart and what and your inspiration right now on the Unplugged and In Charge Radio Show.
Thank you so much, man. It's me that I appreciate.
Are there any last words that you would like to share with the listeners at home?
Look, last word in 1 minute, I then wrote the first book, which is called Running My Race. I mean, Running My Race was simple. I said to myself, people keep on asking me, so where to Nenzanga? You know, rich people, when you ask them, when I'm not rich, no, I'm... when you ask rich people, hey, Nenzanga, they always say, hi, yes, Rama. They never tell you the real method or methodology to their success. And that sometimes misleads people. And I said to myself, if someone asked me, Genzangani, how am I making things happen? What will be my answer? And that's how my fourth book was born. I said, I've been running my race, minding my own business. To someone who's sitting there, I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what they're going to be going through. But I can tell you one thing. The success to every human being has is the ability to run your own business and mind what you do. This is mine, this is what I need to do, this is mine. You simply focus on yours and stop talking about other people, stop focusing. I mean, running my race then takes you into a mind of an athlete that has to run their race. You have to prepare, you have to focus, and then for those things to happen. And in that 30 seconds to share with you what is in that book, there was a time, my brother, when big men, when shorter men were running aside, left and right from me, the heaviness of their steps was so much that I felt the pressure of the competition. I thought, no, these guys are going to leave me. Now, when we got to the end, there were guys that fell while we were running. I asked them, what made you fail? One guy said to me, I started looking at the others. I started looking at my competitors. And I realized one thing, actually. It's not that I was powerful. It's not that I was deserving. It's not that I was supposed to win. But it's that I just kept on running my race and focusing on what I need to do. So I'm saying to someone out there, do what you have to do. Stop competing with anybody, except if you have to compete with the person that you see in the mirror when you wake up. If you run your race, mind your business, you wake up on the finish line, you'll be shocked that people who were once thought they were better than you, they will be looking up to you.
Yo, man, you're giving me goosebumps right now. Soweto Mandlanzi, thank you so much, my brother, and I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate to everyone, and thank you, my colleagues in the studio. Thank you so much, my brother.
Sure. Yeah, man, that's the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. That was Soweto Mandlanzi on the line. And hey, man, we bring you the best. I don't know about you guys on the studio. I don't know about the listeners. But yo, man, there was some fire out there. What is it that you guys got to say about that?
I'm actually busy listening to Soweto speak. And then in the background is our theme music. Every day we're hustling. And I'm just like, in my mind, I'm running this race. And I'm running in my lane. Yeah. And I'm thinking, yes, we're hustling.
Making it happen.
Yes. Absolutely amazing.
All right, we're actually reaching the end of the show. As we always say in the Unplugged and In Charge radio show, it is the shortest hour of the week. Just before we leave, or just before we end the show, are there any last words from both of you guys that you would like to share to the young people out there, to the hustlers out there, to everybody that wants to succeed, and everybody that sees themselves sitting in that high seat? What are your last words?
Well, here's the thing. You know what? Let them keep talking while you're walking, because if they're not talking, then you're not walking. And here's another thing. One thing about destiny is that you got to have insanity with it, because in order for you to get to it, you got to be crazy about it. For sure.
Definitely. No matter what, there's a reason and there's a purpose. That thought or that seed that's implanted into your mind is there for a reason. It's only up to you to go and build it and grow it and harness it.
Yeah.
You did not get that thought by mistake. You did not go onto your journey on your path by mistake. There definitely is a reason. It's all up to you to get up and go and get it.
Yo, man, thank you so much to Kenneth, to Tandega.
Guys,
I've enjoyed myself on the show. And I don't know, like, I don't know how else you can motivate people. We've been here for an hour, and I think the hour was more than enough to speak about your guys' personal journeys, where you guys come from, you know, and sharing your inspiration, including Soweto Mandlanzi, who was on the line. Just before we leave, just one more thing. Where can people get you guys? On social media?
So on social media, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Tandega_M3. On Facebook, you can find me. I'm Tandega Mogoerane. That's Mogoerane.
Well, I'm Kenneth Molefe. So on Facebook, you can go to Kenneth Molefe. And on Instagram, you can go to the_Kenneth_Molefe. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. And best believe, there is going to be a podcast. If you missed the today's show, we have a podcast for you, and you're going to find it on our social media at Cliff Central. You'll also find it on my social media at Sbokuzi. It's been such a pleasure once again to bring you the best of the best shows on Cliff Central, the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. Make sure that as you interact with us on social media, do hashtag us Unplugged Radio Show, and we are sure to respond to you. And yeah, once again, you'll find the link on the social media to download the show, or just download the Cliff Central app. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is me signing out. Until next time, same place. Goodbye. CliffCentral.com.